offensive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
Hi, this is Irv Katz, and welcome to Dial a Dork, the Cleveland radio home for nerds, geeks, and dorks. For the next hour, we'll take your calls about your crashed computer, your hung-up software, your level 17 paladin, or whatever geek-worthy topic you have in mind. Call us at 216-578-1300 and let the Dial a Dork community assist you. And now, here's your Cleveland dorks.
I just wanted to say that now I'm a nerd.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome, loyal listeners, to Dial a Dork. Here we are, W-E-R-E A-M 1300. You can give us a call here, 216-578-1300. Or email us at dorks@dialadork.com. It's hyphenated dial-a-dork.com. And we are very pleased to be here. We're here to answer all your computer problems or your software problems, or maybe if you have other geek-worthy issues you wish to talk about, we will engage you in said discussion. I am joined today by the nicknameless Russ Miller.
And all you disloyal listeners out there, you know what you can do.
You can tune in, please.
Yeah.
We've got Dewey the Answer Man, Drew Ivan.
Hello, Cleveland.
All right, and we are, well, now let's just say that this has nothing to do with anything, but Dork Almighty Matt Menard cannot be with us tonight. He is stuck in Tennessee doing something. Where is he? Tennessee?
He's with a client in Tennessee.
Very good. But we are thrilled to once again be joined by Amitai Schleyer. Ty, back from Europe successfully. How the hell are you?
I am peaceful and at one with everything.
Oh, terrific. Europe will do that too.
Were you in Tibet?
Yeah. Close. He was in Turkmenistan. Were you? Were you in Turkmenistan?
Bohemia.
Were you in any stands?
I was in a lot of bads and grads. Not any stands, though.
Were you in any dams?
At least one, yeah.
Awesome. We're also joined in the booth.
Can you say that
by,
on here?
I think so. When referring to an Amster type dam
yes.
Or a beaver dam.
I was in an Amster type dam.
Okay, sweet. Were you in any Rotter type dams?
No, I try to keep it above the pale there.
Yeah, so terrific. And we are joined by Yoko the Architect in the booth, answering the calls, talking to you, making sure you're sufficiently geek-worthy, getting your address, so on and so forth. And working the board is Matt. Thank you very much, kind sir. Yes, fist. He raised the fist of power a la John Carlos in the 1968 Olympics. That's outstanding. Outstanding work. And Ty, I'm noticing that you were you doing an imitation of John Hurt in Alien just a minute ago?
Maybe. I don't really know what that.
You know, the alien was. Popping out of his stomach.
Can I be blasphemous and say that I haven't seen that movie?
Wow.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my baby.
That's right. One of the great movie parodies was at the end of Spaceballs when the alien pops out of John Hurt's chest and
now I get that
does the little dance down the bar singing exactly hello my baby whatever the hell
hello my ragtime girl
exactly well done okay on tonight's show what Yoko what yes we have a t-shirt contest but we haven't decided what we're giving out t-shirts for so just stay tuned
is that a dry t-shirt contest
well, we should decide
it
that,
is a dry probably. T-shirt contest indeed someday we'll have a Dial a Dork wet t-shirt contest but that's when we order a whole bunch of white t-shirts, not the sort of beige colored t-shirts we have right now.
And dung I think we should color. All disqualify ourselves from entering as well.
we're the judges.
I think it should be a bunch of dorks and man boobs.
Yikes. Well,
why do you think that, Ryan?
Let's just say, man boobs aren't disqualified.
Okay.
All right. We don't want to be sexist here or discriminatory in any way. Tonight, we're going to talk to you a little bit about a few things. We're going to update something we talked about. I don't know if it was last week or the week before. We mentioned Google Wallet, the upcoming sort of money management thing that Google is going to be doing. Turns out it's not a rival of PayPal, so they say. We'll get into that for a minute. We're going to mention we got a YWOW this week, Yoko's website of the week. We'll get into that. We're going to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court.
Who? SCOTUS.
SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States. Dewey didn't know what the hell that meant.
I had not heard that acronym before.
Whenever I see it, it takes me about 60 to 75 seconds to figure out what the hell it is.
Today is the first time I've heard it.
Well, now you know, SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States. We're going to mention their little, oh, I don't know, 9-0 drubbing of Grokster. And we'll mention what that's going to mean for all of us in the
who
tech
was
world.
Relief in that one?
Who was in relief?
Yeah.
I think Napster came in relief, and they got shelled as well. No, funny. Actually, Napster's legit now, so who knows? So we'll get to that, and we'll also engage Amitai in a little bit of discussion about his European trip and find out just what it's like over there, across the pond.
Beery and beautiful.
Beery and beautiful. And if we have time, we're going to mention that PC World Magazine, 6,000 of their readers reviewed their ISPs, and the results were posted on broadbandreports.com or something like that. And the results are kind of interesting. It looks like DSL still ever so slightly edging out the cable for not only penetration but user satisfaction.
Easy.
And by penetration, I mean web-based pornography.
And by user satisfaction?
And by user satisfaction, I mean web-based pornography. All right. So, all right, should we, Amitai, why don't we just go ahead and talk to you first about your little trip to...
On the subject of pornography.
Europa over there. I was curious. Did you ever make it to Prague?
I did. That was my first serious stop.
Did you check out the burgeoning European porn industry in Prague?
Did you turn into a bug in Prague?
Did you appear in any films in Prague?
Not to my knowledge.
I was going to say, you mentioned before the show we were talking to you and you said you didn't earn any money over there. That would have been a good way to do it.
I didn't manage to get paid. Yeah. That's the problem.
Terrific, terrific. Hey, now tell me, I'm kind of curious about this. This isn't exactly a geeky type subject, but it does concern me a little bit. When people found out over there that you were an American... Did they give you a little look askance? Were they like, George Bush, blah,
they're
blah,
like
blah.
Like 120 volts. That's nuts.
Yeah, or anything like that.
Yeah, you guys got your prongs all wrong over there. there were a couple minor run-ins politically. Like in Paris, there was one guy right outside the Gare du Nord after we got out at Paris that was just, oh, my friend is from Texas here? Oh, well, George Bush, blah, 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 blah. Because Texas and George Bush are synonymous.
Sure.
If you don't live here.
Sure.
Personally, I can't tell the difference. I thought Texas was the president until recently.
Yeah, well, kind of. Don't mess with Texas.
But for the most part, I was able to steer conversations into discussions of their politics rather than ours, which in the Czech Republic, for instance, is really interesting because 15 years ago, they had a revolution. And it's objectively a more interesting story than whatever the heck U.S. policy of the moment is going on.
You think it's like more interesting than the dot-com boom we had 5 years ago?
Is that political in
any way? I don't know. But what about the technology over there? Give us some geek meat.
Well, there are internet cafes all over the place. I'm going to let that one slide. and they are very easy to find. You don't have to research and find a place near you. You just walk down the street and there'll be something. There was one in Paris that was basically one big desk with some partitions, so there were 8 seats. And if you wanted to get in or out, everybody else had to get up. It was just scrammed in there. So
wait,
tight.
Wait, what?
It's just this little tiny storefront with 8 stations at one tiny desk, scrammed into this tiny storefront. And it was 50 cents for half an hour or something like that.
Nice.
Other places, if it's like a big, well-advertised and so on, typically like 3 or 4 euro an hour.
And if you bring your laptop over there, how are you supposed to connect? I mean, how does that work?
Some of these net cafes, like the bigger prestigious ones, will have wireless and you can pay for that. I didn't bring my laptop, which I'm glad of. For me, the deciding factor in whether the net cafe was worth the money was whether I could get SSH there. And if it's certain of the big names had system images that were locked down and you couldn't download anything and they didn't have PuTTY, so it wasn't any good for me to spend money there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the little tiny cheap ones had all the spyware in the world, but I could also download PuTTY and run it if they didn't have it.
Okay.
And then Easy Internet Cafe, which is the same company that's EasyJet, if you've heard of them. They do a bunch of easy everything. And their net cafes have a system image, and whenever you log out, it re-images it.
But
they allow downloading, and you can install whatever you want. So those are pretty ubiquitous, and every city I went to, I knew I could do SSH that way.
Cool. Brace yourself. Yoko has a question. So, Matt, go ahead and fire up that mic in there and give Yoko her due. Go ahead, Yoko. What do you got?
Am I ready?
You're on, babe.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I have to ask, what is cessatia and putty? I'm completely lost. I think Amitai is talking cessatia? In a different language.
I think it's a tree found in the southeastern United States.
Oh.
No, SSH.
SSH stands for secure shell. And if you're a nerd, and I'm sorry that I presumed you all were, you may not be. It's a good way to get into a Unix machine.
Securely?
You've probably heard of Telnet. It's functionally replaces Telnet, and it's more secure.
Yeah.
So it's secure Telnet.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Secure how? So like, is it encrypted?
It is exactly encrypted.
It's encrypulated.
Encrypulated.
Which means don't ever want to try to use it over a slow link like
satellite. Like we did at Dial-A-Dork?
Or a IBM i386 loggable at a conference.
That's right.
No, wait, what was the other thing you wanted to know? It was SSH and what was the other thing she didn't know?
Putty.
What
Putty,
and
is
Putty.
A...
Putty is the...
Putty is an SSH client for Windows. So
but you can do Telnet on it too.
You can.
Telnet, SCP, which is sort of a file copy.
That's right.
It's a
yeah.
secure copy.
Yeah. So all that stuff's really cool. I was actually, when you brought this up, I was thinking there should be a website somewhere that will let you SSH where you will. And then connect via SSL to throw another acronym into the mix. But
I think there probably
I'm not finding
are
one right now.
I know there are Java SSH applets and there are demos of them and they can let you go to anywhere. Whether or not they're SSL wrapped, I'm not sure, but that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's go into business.
I just want to add real quick to everybody out there who is trying to listen via IceCast. I forgot to turn it on, so sorry about that.
So you can't hear his apology.
So if you can't hear tomorrow, when you listen to the archive tomorrow, you'll have no trouble hearing me feel very bad. All of a sudden, I just remembered I didn't turn on the IceCast. I mean, I left the IceCast server running, but I forgot to turn on the source and the client, and I stink.
What's weird is tomorrow when you listen to this, he'll be feeling fine. It's like relativity.
Yeah, it's you know, just you know what? I'm not sorry. Screw yous all. No, I'm kidding. I feel terrible that my mom can't listen. It's awful. All right.
She'll be calling in a few minutes, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. We got an email from Ben in Berea. This might be a dumb question. Now, there's no such thing as a dumb question, Ben, just dumb people who ask questions. Now, here we go. Sure. This might be a dumb question, but so what? You're dorks. See? Now I'm glad I was mean to him. So if I'm in Paris, are all the websites in French? Will my keyboard work? How about Germany? How about that, Germany?
Will Germany work? Is that what you're asking?
Don't rile them up. That's all I know about Germany. Yeah.
Yes. Don't piss them off.
That's true. Actually, it depends.
And don't infect their bloodlines.
They don't cotton to that.
Yeah, don't
you
go for that.
You know what that means.
Go ahead.
It depends. Most of the browsers, well, all browsers, have this little thingamajigger where you can say what your preferred languages are. By all browsers, I mean all the popular ones. And you can say, I like English in the American style. And then if I can't get that, I like English in the British style, even though some of those idioms just don't make any sense. And then if I can't get that, I suppose I can speak French. And if a website insists on being French, I can handle that. And typically, if you download Firefox or Internet Explorer in the States on an English system, it'll have English as the preferential language by default. In a French-speaking country, it would be French by default. But if you have enough access to the system, you could change the language you prefer. Then when the browser talks to a site, it'll negotiate. It'll say, I would prefer to have French, or I would prefer to have Swahili or Czech. And the website will be like, sorry, we only speak French here, so here you go. Or maybe it has some choices and they would negotiate something mutually agreeable. So usually it'd be French. Usually the big sites like the French rail system or the German rail system, they will have an English page that's sometimes humorously translated.
All right. You're never going to believe this, but Yoko has another question. I'm shocked and appalled. Yoko, make sure you have that mic ready there. Okay, go for it.
I was just very impressed with Ty's impression of a website that didn't want to speak French. That's it.
Was that a question?
No.
That was more of a statement, I think.
I traveled a little bit in Europe for work, and I had to go inventory a bunch of systems in like 6 or 8 different countries, most of which were different languages than English. And I learned that the start menu, that little button you rely on, totally different. It's great. You get to learn all kinds of words. I think run is executar.
What is a start? Does it always say start?
Well, it depends on the country.
Greece, go.
No, I get it. I wasn't there, and it was years ago, so off the cuff, I'm not sure.
All right.
But that browser thing, to put it in human terms, is a lot like if you're a tourist in a foreign country, and you got to figure out whether the person you're talking to can speak English, or whether you have to try to speak their language, or something in between. It's the same procedure. just with a computer instead of people.
Well, how come the UPS site keeps asking me if I'm in the United States then?
Yeah. Where's the cookie for that? Damn it. That really pisses me off, actually. Every time I go to UPS, it asks me what country I'm in.
What
I mean,
are cookies called
in
France? Frustrated.
Cookies are small dry cakes is the literal translation. Les petits gâteaux secs.
And is that what your browser stores on your hard drive?
Hopefully not. I think they just probably call it cookies.
Oh. Le cookie.
Although I'm sure the actual, there's a quite a language. There's a board, a government-approved board that approves words in
They're
in
very
France.
Protective
and
of the culture
And they're the only
in
country that doesn't call a computer a computer.
It's ordinateur.
What, an ordinator?
Yep. It's ordinal.
What's an ordinator?
It works with ordinals.
Something that ordinates.
See, like, also
it,
ordinate.
It's like ordination. Isn't that what you, like, you've, like your first week at camp or something?
Well, their computers don't compute. They
That's
simply
coordination.
Ordinate.
Or is that orientation?
Oh, yes. Or orienteering.
Or you're a counselor. No, you're a camp counselor, and you ordinate? You orientate.
Regulate.
Right.
Regulators.
Regulate. Okay.
Far afield.
Oops.
So anything else you'd like to add, Mr. Schleyer? Anything you'd like to tell us about where the superior beer is located or what the local laws are regarding consumption of cannabis or what? What do you got?
Believe it or not, I didn't test the cannabis in any sort of the dam that I was in. I almost regret that, but not quite. As the beers go, the only places that I went that had trouble with the beer manufacturing were France, that primarily imported from Belgium, because they just can't make good beer in France, and Italy, which I think primarily gets it from Austria.
Well, do they know they're not supposed to make beer out of grapes?
In both France. Those countries, you're probably better served to hit the
A
wine
Belgian
market.
Beer is probably fine.
Oh, yes. It's more than fine. I wish Matt was here. He'd tell us all about it.
Oh, God. He would, probably.
The monks brew ale there.
They oh, do. That's true. That Trappist
Actually,
stuff.
I'll tell you, that's a good reminder. Nobody in southern Germany would know what Munich meant if you said Munich.
München.
It's München, which
München.
Is monks. It means
monks.
Because there are all those monasteries out there, and they make beer as well.
Drunkenness is next to godliness.
That's how they made their water safe to drink. They turned it into beer.
Is that right?
There's a lesson in this for us all.
Beer is good for you, I think it's safe to say. And let that be a lesson to all of us. Beer is good for you. Now go out there and drink some. Yes. Support your local economy. Drink some Great Lakes beer.
Right on.
Responsibly.
Yoko, you are impossible to please. I have to tell you. We will come back from this break in a couple minutes, and we will get into some more geeky crud. We'll see you in a minute.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
Hi, this is Jack Perkins, host of Biography on A&E, with some good news for my old hometown, Greater Cleveland. Now, every Monday through Friday at 6:55 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., I'll be your host for Biography for Radio here on WERE 1300 a.m. Biography for Radio delivers life stories of the people you thought you knew. Hope you'll join us each weekday at 6:55 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for Biography for Radio here on People Power, WERE 1300 a.m., Cleveland.
Boy, I love wrestling.
Then you should play IWA.
What's the IWA?
The Imaginary Wrestling Association. It's the greatest fun since wrestling itself. You create a wrestler, manage his career, and compete against other wrestlers from around the world for championship titles and prizes. The IWA lets you trash talk and do sneak attacks. They even have specialty matches.
Well, that sounds great. How do I get started?
Go to playiwa.com. You could be
the new world champion. use SpeedPass at Exxon and Mobil and a wonderful thing happens. You save time because paying with SpeedPass is fast. Fast for gas, food, everything you need. It's even fast to sign up. Call 1-877-SPEEDPASS. Extra time and 1,000 other things you need. At Exxon and Mobil, we're drivers too. Now use your SpeedPass for any in-store purchase of $3 or more and get a bottle of Dasani water. Visit an Exxon or Mobil to learn about other special SpeedPass rewards. Offer good at participating Exxon and Mobil locations that accept SpeedPass inside the store. Ends August 31st, 2005. Excludes lottery. Limit one bottle per day per location. Water brand and size may vary.
When you went to Adams, you might have been called a spaz or a dork or a geek.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial a Dork.
Alrighty, we're back. Okay, so we were going to get into some other stuff, but we did get an email question for Ty, so we'll go ahead and do that first while it's still fresh in our minds. Ernie in East Cleveland says, "Hey, Dorks, is the U.S. still setting the trend in technology? Did Ty see anything new and exciting in the old country?"
Is the U.S. still setting the trend in technology?
Did the U.S. ever really set the trend in technology?
Absolutely.
It's a very open-ended
question. Right after Sputnik. From then on, we had like a 10-20-year reign there.
Whee!
Went to the moon.
What are the trends in technology, and who's setting them? And then we can sort of induce
I guess maybe
the Scandinavians have cornered the cell phone market.
Yeah, really.
That's true.
Nokia, Ericsson. I guess maybe what Ernie is getting at is, did you see any unbelievable gadgets or laptops or anything like that?
I did use a really cool gadget.
Well, kind of like you would, like when you go to Japan, you see all the stuff that's a year away from getting to the United States.
I saw something, speaking of Nokia, the Nokia Communicator. It's a cell phone with, it flips open like
Oh, they have that here now.
Do they?
Oh, yes. The 9300 or something like that.
But I think this shows that U.S. is not setting the trend for this device.
No, that's definitely the Nokia, though. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that thing is awesome.
I was in a situation.
Tell us about it.
It's a cell phone, and it flips open, and it's got a keyboard and a little screen. You can get PuTTY for it. I think it's a Symbian OS.
Yeah, and it's the bomb. It has a 802.11b.
It's super handy.
And it's a cell phone. It's awesome.
So I was going to meet up with a bunch of my fellow NetBSD dork developers in London, and we were going to cross-sign our PGP keys in a very nerdly fashion so that we could prove to each other
it's
what
like
our
being
identities
blood
were.
Brothers?
Kind of, but with numbers instead of blood.
And in London.
But I forgot to bring my... Yeah, there's that too. But I forgot to bring my little business cards for PGP that have the fingerprint of my key. And so in order to prove that I was who I was, not only did I need my identity, but I needed this business card that I forgot to bring with me. So a guy had brought this Nokia communicator, put it on GPRS data service, and then I SSH'd into my mail server where I have the key and ran the command to display it, and then passed that around and wrote it down on napkins for people.
Wow.
If not for that,
NapkinNet?
This whole trip would have been wasted.
Oh, my God. And Yoko made a very excellent point through written communication. She's like, it says 802.11b, ? I apologize. 802.11b or G or A or pre-N or all that kind of stuff is just, you know, it's the standard, the RFC standard for wireless networking, Wi-Fi, whatever you might see out there at internet cafes. And
well, B and G seem to be the big ones. What's the difference between the two?
Okay. Well, they run on the same general frequency range. I think it's, the 2.4 gigahertz, similar to your cordless phone. In your home, perhaps, the 2.4 gigahertz cordless phone.
Cordless
B, however, runs at a maximum speed of 11 megabits per second, which tops out around maybe T1 type speeds, I guess, ultimately. Is that? No, wait, I'm sorry. Not T1 type speeds, like 1.5 megabytes per second.
But that's
second.
The maximum theoretical, the maximum practical.
The maximum probably
is nowhere near there.
The maximum is probably about 500 or 600 megabits per second, whereas G. Its maximum theoretical is 54 megabits per second, so it's supposed to be about 5 times faster. And I think it claims greater range, but I've not experienced that.
The B is for boring, and the G is for great.
Interesting.
B is
not
for
boring,
bad.
Girl.
I think B is for bad,
B is
and
for
G is for good.
Accepted.
Yeah. B is for cheap. I think you might discover
that should be the last word.
You know what? No. I'm not going to, you know.
Hey, Irv.
Yeah.
Could a cordless phone interfere with a wireless network?
That's a very good question. And you will be surprised to discover that only in rare situations does it actually do that. Turns out most 2.4 gigahertz phones seem to play relatively well with wireless networks. However,
not mine at home.
Well, yeah. However, if you do run into a problem, both your phone and your network have the capability to ever so slightly move up or down at this frequency range they've been assigned, and maybe you can separate
the channels.
Yeah, you can pick different channels, and maybe you can separate them just enough that they don't interfere with one another.
There's However, some settings also, like I've seen a checkbox in a lot of wireless drivers for microwave oven robustness or something like that.
Well, my microwave oven craps out my network all the time.
You should look for a setting like that.
I don't have that setting.
I've been having weird problems with my new wireless network. And I wonder if it could be related to a cordless phone.
Well, and I found also that funny thing, is that you might discover that, okay, here's a very important thing. When you get your wireless network, when you bring home the box from the store and you open it up and you set it up, it's very, very important that you change what's called the SSID to something relatively unique, okay? Because you go to the store and you buy
turtle hugs.
Turtle hugs would
not
be
anymore.
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh. You got to think of something
it really
else.
It doesn't matter as long as you stop broadcasting it.
Well, I mean,
my wife is listening, can you change our SSID
real quick? It's not the broadcasting, Russ. I mean, broadcasting is certainly a way to secure it a little bit better. But what I'm talking about actually is the problem is that you know, let's say there's a sale or something. You go buy the Belkin brand, and your neighbor buys the Belkin brand, and you both go and you plug it in. And you don't change the SSID. They're going to have the same SSID. They're going to have the same SSID. They're going to be on the same channel. And guess what? They're going to interfere with one another. They absolutely will. And that happened to my relatives down in North Carolina.
City. People like have actual yards. Probably don't have that problem.
No, I went. My relatives down in North Carolina. They live in a regular suburban neighborhood with 50 feet between each house or something like that, and their neighbor had the exact same brand of wireless router that they did, and they left it all the default settings, and they were crapping each other out, and so I finally changed the name of theirs, and everything worked from then on out. So that helped a lot. That helped a lot. I changed the channel too.
Yeah, I think channel might help more than that.
Well, but I mean, at least you know, because it was going back and forth from default to default to default to default,
over,
you know, blah, blah, blah. At least it was able to focus in on the one with the right SSID. So there you go. So it was very interesting the way that worked. Hey, you know what? Please give us a call, 216-578-1300.
What about email?
Email us at dorks@dialadork.com, hyphenated dial-a-dork.com, and we're here to answer your computer questions, your computer queries, whatever. If you want to talk about something geek-worthy, please do. We're here to help you. It's free, limited time only, for the next half hour, free computer help. And you might even win a T-shirt in the process, because what we're going to talk about now is the raging debate in ISP choices, broadband ISP choices, cable versus DSL. I don't think satellite has ever really factored into it too much, unless you
satellite your last
live in rural wherever, and that's the only choice you have.
If you end up on satellite, you're screwed, because you got no SSH, you got no VPN, you got no SSL,
and you're paying a heck of a lot of money, and you've got crazy lag.
Why don't you have encryptologically on satellite? I don't know about that.
They have a huge latency problem when they ship all your data up and down from this, and they actually have a cool caching thing what they do on local servers for normal websites and normal data. But anything encrypted can't sit on another machine. So you've got to experience that full latency.
Yeah.
Do we have anybody on either side of the cable or DSL debate in this room?
I'm on the cable side.
I'm on the DSL side.
I have had nothing but DSL from the get-go.
Me too.
I've had both ways, and in my experience, I'm talking about network service here.
Sure, sure. Uh-huh. You were only in Europe for 7 weeks. No big deal.
Well, which way was your user satisfaction better?
Well, when you put it that way.
Which way filled you up with satisfaction?
And internet porn.
I don't even know what I was thinking anymore.
We're out of control.
The DSL, in my experience as a nerd, is valuable to me because DSL providers typically don't filter ports, and cable modem providers typically do. There are exceptions, like SBC will currently filter outbound port 25, But really cleverly, they make it easy to disable that. If you want to opt out of that,
that's right.
There's a web form, you fill it in.
That's right.
They're not filtering you anymore.
Now, why would you want to filter or not filter port 25?
Oh, my.
For our listeners at home.
Well, we've talked about spyware and viruses and spam and all that sort of stuff. And if an ISP that is providing a mail server to you lets you talk on port 25 to anything you like through their network, it's convenient because you might have your own mail server somewhere.
So port 25 is used for email.
That's right.
Outgoing.
Outgoing email.
Email.
But if you've got some kind of infection or some bad software on your machine that talks to other email servers for bad purposes, they're not stopping you if they don't filter it. And so by default, the responsible ISPs these days
That's
will block
right.
it so that you can only use their mail server, and they can run it through all kinds of filtering before they pass it out.
Yeah, they're doing sort of a preemptive strike against these sort of zombie, spam zombies and things like that.
One of the reasons they do that is because if their block of network addresses gets caught by anybody spewing out this bad stuff, other internet providers will block email from them. And they don't want to have people wondering why they can't send email to somebody else. It's just bad for business. So they cut it off at their own mail server.
Let me get this straight. We have, you've done cable and DSL. You...
Just cable.
Just cable. You both?
But when you point to me, yes. I don't think I've seen that at home. I've only had DSL.
Only DSL. Yeah, and right. Same. Okay, DSL. So now in this survey in PC World, 6,000 readers surveyed. In terms of overall satisfaction, DSL at 68%, cable at 66%. They're both pretty similar. Dial-up 50%, satellite 48%. So definitely people really like their cable and their DSL
ISDN?
A lot more. I don't know about ISDN.
Poor ISDN. They took too long with that.
Yeah. And let's see here.
Now, both of the IRF.
Yeah.
Both of these are considered broadband technologies, right?
Yeah, cable and DSL are both considered broadband. But for what I've been noticing lately, cable seems a little bit more broad than DSL in terms of the download speed. Anyway, I don't know about upload, but download for sure. I've been at some clients' facilities, and they have cable modems, and they've been going, I don't know, about 250 kilobytes per second. And that's pretty healthy. Download speed. That's pretty healthy.
Download. Bytes, not bits.
Byte. That's like 2 megabits per second. That's better than T1. So I mean, that's pretty good. However, it says right here that average monthly bill, cable $40 to $49, DSL $20 to $29.
Interesting.
So what's up?
It kind of depends whether you. I mean, the package deal is a big deal. If you already get cable, if you get all kinds of channels.
Yeah, I don't even know how much I pay for cable internet because it's bundled in with everything else.
Right.
I think if we had to give a responsible recommendation on behalf of the Dial-A-Door community, it would be it depends on what you want to do. If you want to download a lot and you don't need to serve anything, cable modem is pretty clearly going to be faster. If speed isn't an issue, then DSL is fine and cheaper. And if you want to serve stuff, then DSL is probably your best option.
What about security concerns?
I don't have any.
Aren't you on some kind of a shared network with cable?
I've heard that.
It's kind of technically
really
a LAN.
Yeah, more of a hub than it is a routed thing.
I'm shrugging my shoulders.
I don't know. I don't know. What about stability, though? What about stability, outages, things like that?
It's been rock solid. And the reason I went with cable instead of DSL was because at the time I was shopping around, everybody I knew had a story about how they couldn't get DSL to work. And at the time, I don't know if it's still like this, they had like the phone company involved and a DSL provider involved and someone else who owned the actual physical wires. And all these people involved, and if you had
electrical
a problem,
unions and plumbers unions,
and like the astrologers and stuff, and if you had a problem, first of all, you didn't know who to call, and secondly, you know, everybody was blaming everybody else, and it would take a long time to get hooked up. And
there's something very interesting to say about that. But wait, before I do, I just want to say one last thing, just in case anyone's wondering. The overall score, the overall service score for the ISPs, and some of these do various different versions of connectivity. It was Earthlink came out on top, which I'm not surprised by at all because they have really good commercials, I think. But they came out with an overall service score of 81 out of 100, followed closely by Cablevision and Roadrunner, 78, Verizon and Cox a little bit back at 72, and SBC Yahoo at 60. Oh, you know, this is funny. SBC Yahoo DSL at 67, which I guess you know, considering everything is somewhat respectable. Earthlink Cable was 81. Earthlink DSL, 64. So maybe that's the telling stat right there, that cable maybe is a little bit more stable, more trouble-free. Maybe it is because they are able to lock it down a little bit better than DSL. They have a better satisfaction rating. But here, this is important. I want to say this. It's going to lead into the next topic, is that the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States today, voted, I think it might have been 5-4, might have been 7-2, I'm not sure. Whatever it is, it adds up to 9, because Rehnquist was there today. And this was like the last day. They handed down like 18,000 decisions today because then they're
Rehnquist
going on vacation.
Isn't dead or retired yet?
No, no. Well, they're saying like now, like when they take the summer break or whatever, he might not make it back. So we'll
did you see.
See
the, I think it was the New York Times or some other
didn't they
major
sign
newspaper.
Each other's yearbooks when they go on that break?
Have
you read Summer Rehnquist? That's one thing I wouldn't do.
They sign each other's dissents.
There was
Stay sweet, Clarence.
Aw. I'll never forget the good times we had deliberating with each other.
KIT, Sandy. Okay, look, wait, what were you saying?
Just that there was some major newspaper, some very reputable newspaper, that somehow mistakenly leaked the headlines and introductions of the story that they're going to publish when Rehnquist dies or retires.
Oh, sweet.
And it said Rehnquist dies / retires as the title.
Oh, that's horrible.
Just right out there
that's
for
horrible,
everybody.
Man.
Well, the first implies the second.
Any second now. Well, I hope so.
They did a skit on that, I think, on Saturday Night Live where they had someone do an impression of Brokaw reading about the death of Walter Cronkite, and he just had to keep saying all these various scenarios like, you know, it was crushed in an avalanche. You know, it really got out of hand. Okay, but today they decided that the cable modem, the cable broadband providers do not have to open up their services to other carriers. They are not part of the sort of Telecommunications Act, unlike the DSL providers who have to open, the phone companies have to open up the phone lines to other DSL providers. And I think that's how like someone like Earthlink, as opposed to SBC, can offer DSL, because SBC physically maintain, they're the only ones allowed to maintain physically the phone lines. But in terms of using the phone lines, they are open commercially to other providers, whereas cable, not so much. In fact, not at all.
So if you have a voice over IP service...
That's complicated. I'm glad we have a bunch of old people who aren't really hip with technology ruling on this stuff.
Yes. If you have a service like that...
Very helpful.
Does that mean that the cable company can choose not to let you use that on your network, whereas the DSL company would be required to?
Well, that I don't know. Okay, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think what we're really talking about here is that if, you know, Adelphia, cable company can allow... you know, Dewey the Answer Man cable internet ISP to operate over their cable, their physical cable. I think this is a over their physical network, you know, actual physical network, as opposed to allowing various services. But you know what? This probably consolidates the cable company's power to decline. Well, although, why would the cable company want to disallow VoIP? They love it. It's you know, going to kill the phone companies, and I'm sure the cable companies love that. Don't you think? Why, what love do cable companies have for the phone company? None.
Well, maybe
if you
could
make phone calls over the cable, you're there. You know, they're it's golden.
So maybe they want to have their own business to do that and don't want to allow competitors to transfer bytes over their wires.
Well, if I'm Cablevision or Adelphia, I'm gobbling up VoIP companies left and right. It's what I'm doing. I'm probably going to go buy Skype or something.
Like Pac-Man, who turned 25 this week.
What's that?
Like Pac-Man, who turned 25 this week.
You know who turned 10? Who turns 10 this year?
You know who turned 52?
Who?
Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper turned 52?
I read a headline. That's really disturbing to me.
Who turned 10?
Is that like menopausal women just want to have fun?
Yeah,
or premenopausal women? Whatever.
Yeah, 52.
Java. Java turned 10.
Java.
This year. And in fact, I think next week we might actually have one of Cleveland's foremost Java experts either join us in the studio or talk to us up at the telephone. His name's Maciej Zawadzki. He's head of the Cleveland Java Users Group. He's been using Java since the day it was born.
Jug. Would that be C-Jug?
C-Jug.
That's
Jug. The Jug. The Cleveland Jug. And hopefully we'll have him join us next week or one of these weeks to talk a little bit about Java and where it's come and where it's going and everything else. We've got a couple of emails here. Ellen in Elyria, what is the cheapest dial-up connection? I just want to check my email. Well, that's a really good question. I tell you what, I use a dial-up connection here in the studio that is $4.95 a month. And so I think if you just go to Google, if you don't have connection right now, go to the library or something like that and Google dial-up connection cheap or cheap dial-up or something like that. I'm sure you'll find something. I wouldn't pay more than $9.95 a month. Let's put it that way. So just do a little research. Do your.
I'm trying to see if the service is still out there, but there was one back when I was researching this that would let you have up to 10 hours a month for free. And then when you went over that, it started charging you by hour, but they only charge you up to $10 a month.
All right, real quick before we go to break, finish up this sort of a cable versus DSL survey. At the bottom of the barrel,
for free.
For overall service, you've got Adelphia Cable at 51.
That's actually my provider.
All right. Nice. MSN dial-up, 50. Net Zero dial-up, 49. People PC dial-up, 46. And who do you think is at the bottom at 39? Any guesses?
Juno.
No, not Juno. Mm, Any guesses?
No, Prodigy still around.
No.
CompuServe.
Anyone? How about America Online? Wow. What a shocker. AOL 39 at the bottom of the barrel.
So I found that website, accessforfree.com.
Accessforfree.com.
It's with hyphens, access-4-free.com.
Access-F-O-R, letter number four.
Number four, sorry.
Access-4-free.com. Ellen, check it out. That might be just the thing you're looking for. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve. With in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
Join us every Sunday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. for Primetime Polkas here on WERE 1300 AM. Our polka family of Richie, Sharon, Melvin, Ginger, Al, and Marianne would like to invite you and your family to spend Sunday evenings with us from 6 to 7 p.m. for polka music, the community bulletin board, oh yeah, polka music, guests, giveaways, excuse me, did we mention polka music? And a good time. Don't forget Primetime Polkas 6 to 7 p.m. every Sunday evening here on People Power WERE 1300 AM.
Boy, I love wrestling.
Then you should play IWA.
What's the IWA?
The Imaginary Wrestling Association. It's the greatest fun since wrestling itself. You create a wrestler, manage his career, and compete against other wrestlers from around the world for championship titles and prizes. The IWA lets you trash talk and do sneak attacks. They even have specialty matches.
Well, that sounds great. How do I get started?
Go to playiwa.com. You could be
the new world champion.
Why do you think you're a dork? I don't think you're a dork.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
All right, we got a lot of stuff to cover, so we're going to go through it real fast. But if you do want to call us, 216-578-1300, and we will talk to you and probably give you a t-shirt, too. All right, real quick, we got to get through a couple of important subjects here. Google Wallet update. We had talked about Google Wallet. Maybe it was last week, maybe the week before. I really can't remember. Doesn't really matter. The point is that we had said that Google Wallet might be a potential competitor to PayPal. They are totally denying that. They are saying, no. It's not the same kind of service. It's not basically internet escrow, which is kind of what PayPal is. It is more of just their sort of way to for you to pay for things on Google, and it's kind of going to go hand in hand with this new video upload service that Google is doing, where you can upload videos you've created that you own, and you can charge people to view them. Oh, you said that last week.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well, that's what they're reiterating this week, that it's not going to be a competitor to PayPal. So jolly good. Okay, moving on. More decisions from the SCOTUS today. Supreme Court of the United States, 9-0 drubbing of Grokster. Basically, what they are saying is that it is that the companies like Grokster, the file sharing companies, are responsible if their products are being used to share copyrighted information and they promote themselves as a service through which you can do such a thing, or they're set up, you know, regardless of their, you know, legal potential or whatever, regardless of the fact that you could exchange total, you know, legally music or video or whatever, the point is that if it's designed to allow you to share copyrighted material, people like Grokster are going to be responsible, which just basically sets up a flurry of lawsuits, I'm sure, within the next few weeks or months against, from, you know, like people like RIAA and
if you don't have
NPAA.
An iTunes account, get one.
Does anyone in this room think that that ruling makes any sense?
No.
Because they're saying,
I don't know,
you can write software that is for that intent if you market it as being general purpose file sharing.
Right.
Why? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't really know how you get around it. I don't know how you get around the decision and have a file sharing utility that is designed for, you know, only legal purposes, unless you're going to put things in place. But how do you put things in place to guard against copyright material?
Oh,
unless
there's ways now.
Text files.
No, but no, the Groksters and the Napsters and all those people in the world, they wanted to avoid that. They didn't want to police their networks.
Right.
I don't know. The people who sell crowbars don't check to see what you're going to do with it.
This is true. But basically, it looks like to me that what this is an enormous money grab for the RIAA and the MPAA. They're just going to sue the crap out of all these companies and get as much money as they can. They're going to be much more inviting
it's
targets.
It's not about
than,
money. It's about shutting them down and getting your own. They want to control distribution chain.
Well,
which
that's
is what
money.
This whole thing's about.
That's money too.
Right. But
I think the whole thing is. Well, you're right. I mean, I don't know what they're going to get out of Grokster, but they're certainly going to make more inviting a target than say. You know, Johnny Smith in room 212.
They'll
and
be put out of business like Napster
case,
was,
okay?
Or they'll go to some more, you know, legitimate.
Well, no more lawsuits
model.
Against grandmas whose, you know, grandkids shared music on their computer or something like that.
Can I come back to the PayPal competitor thing?
I guess
I'd like to see a competitor to PayPal.
Don't you like PayPal?
There have been
What's wrong
some.
With PayPal.
eBay just didn't eBay just adopt somebody else in the last year?
eBay
or two?
Owns PayPal.
No, but there's somebody else you can use, too. E-bills or something like that.
They start their own?
Fund friend or something?
Poopal.
I don't know. Apparently none of us know. I was making a serious point.
I've heard a few stories about PayPal not quite going according to plan and not being able to
remediate
things.
I think the only problems
things.
Are customer service and getting responses after. Because you couldn't find a phone number for the longest time. I don't know whether that's changed.
I've heard weird fees being imposed as well.
Really?
And unexpected. Not for individual accounts, but for corporate or
nonprofits. I did a little bit of
group
stuff, and I changed my, you know, because of the rate at which I was bringing in money, they lowered my, or up my fees and lowered my type of account, but I expected it. It wasn't unjustified.
We've got Sarah in Sagamore Hills. Dear Dorks, I must confess that I have downloaded music that I probably should not have. Do I need to flee
must
to
be
Mexico?
Britney Spears.
Do I need to flee to Mexico? Well, I don't think you need to flee to Mexico. I will. Not that I'm condoning the downloading of music you didn't pay for, but I don't think that the downloaders are really who they're targeting. It's the people who are making them available for download that they really have been going after. So don't worry. If you really want to make yourself feel better, by all means, delete those files from your computer right away if you can remember which ones they are, and don't do it again. However, I don't think it's that big of a deal. So I don't think you need to flee to Mexico. Let's put it that way. But if you are really concerned about it, you want to do the right thing, you'll delete those files right away and you won't do it again. Ida in Independence says, how do you know if a website violates copyright? Don't some sites give away music for free? That's what my son tells me anyway. Well, I think websites that give away music for free, chances are, know what they're doing, and they're allowed to do that. Where,
and they usually say so really explicitly.
Yeah, probably. Or, you know, I mean, a lot of things are, you know, like, what was it? Like, you buy a 12-pack of Heineken or something like that, you got, like, 3 or 4 free songs or something from iTunes or whatever the hell it was.
Well, most of these things, are you go to band websites, they'll give away a track or two.
Yeah. I mean, if you're really into like indie music and small bands and things like that, you're not gonna have any problem getting your hands on some
GarageBand.com.
GarageBand.com is a perfect example, and you won't have any trouble getting your hands on some free music, free as in beer, free as in totally free
beer
indeed. Are you missing the beer in Europe already?
Yes.
You want to go over to Great Lakes after the show? Would that even come anywhere close?
I don't think so.
Get a Holy Moses or something like that?
Oh, man.
All right, and real quick, we want to tell you about the WyWow, Yoko's website of the week. It is www.wfp.org. WFP.org. That's the World Food Program under the auspices of the United Nations. And the reason we're telling you about this is not that we, you know, not that we care all that much about. I'm just kidding. We're not saying like, oh, you know, go ahead and go to the website, please, and see what they're doing. And if you like what they're doing, go ahead and support them. But what we're really, in terms of Geekworthy, the World Food Organization is giving away a free game called Food Force. Okay, and I think you might
Food
even
Force.
Be able to go to
Food Force 5.
Foodforce.com. I think it's hyphenated.
About
I think it's
food
dash.
Force to be reckoned with. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I think it's
force feeding. One of those.
No, I don't think it's like that. I think you can go to food-force.com also. And apparently it's been pretty popular with young males between the ages of 9 and 13. And I think it's the kind of thing where you kind of fly into a situation where there are crowds and you have to figure out like where the crowds are or something and drop the food
to the right
supplies
warlords.
To the right. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's let's see. Play the game, learn about food aid, and help WFP work towards a world without hunger. So, I think that it's pretty, a pretty awesome game, man.
Sounds like sim crowd behavior.
Yeah, well, it's a sim food drop, sim humanitarian, something like that. It's
sim Bono.
Go ahead and go to foodforce.com, download the game, play the game, and find out what's going on in the world. And it's fun too. I mean, from what we're told, the kids love it. The kids love
it. At least Yoko loves it.
But no, seriously, I mean, you know, it's one of these things when you go to these websites and you look at the hunger problems around the world and you are like, I mean, it always just blows my mind. I mean, I can't believe some of the stuff I'll complain about on a daily basis. And then you go to a website like this, it's just puts it all kind of into perspective.
It's all just fun and games.
No, that's right. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Sniper
that
game
is not
and
what I'm
go
saying.
Kill people.
Golly, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this is a good game and a good cause, and you ought to look into it. And that's why it's Yoko's website of the week, because Yoko cares. Yoko cares.
Somebody has to.
So I tell you what, next week, anybody who downloads this game, plays it, call in, give us a review of the game. We will give you a Dial a Dork T-shirt.
And we'll talk about e-commerce.
And we will talk about no, we won't. We're not. But we might talk about Java next week with Maciej Zawadzki, local Java king.
Well, I didn't vote for him.
Well, that's he beat the silly party in his way. If anybody can come up with the names of some of those silly party candidates, that was so fantastic.
Arthur Phillips Bong.
Rim Bim Tim Wim Blim.
Bim
right.
Bust up Fatang Fatang.
Olay
Biscuit Barrel.
Olay Biscuit Barrel. That's great. Oh my God, you're so great to have Ty back, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? Ty, when do you leave us again? Huh?
Call me Bruce to ease the confusion.
Real quick, Ty, when do you leave us again?
About a month.
All right, so we're going to have Ty for another couple of episodes, and maybe we'll extract a few bucks out of him, pay for one of these shows one time. All right, you guys, we will see you next week. Thanks for tuning in. This was Dial a Dork. Check out our website, dial-a-dork.com, and we will see you. Bye, teacher.
Na zdravi.
Get all those pimps together. It was live.